We're going to begin today's shiur with a short review of the last chapter that we did in the previous shiur, Torah Reish Chof Aleph, chapter 221. We're dedicating the shiur today to the yahrzeit of the father of a good friend, Rachamim ben Shlomo, whose yahrzeit is today, and also Pauline bas Miriam, whose yahrzeit is tomorrow, Mitzvashem. And the shiur is also dedicated for a complete refuah shalema for David Yosef ben Esther Dina, Moshe Elio ben Miriam, Yus Behendel bas Gitalea, Aviv Elona bias Behendel, Saroch bias Behendel, Besor Shar Choli Yisrael. In the previous shiur, we spoke about Meiser. Rabbeinu Zal said that when a Jew gives Meiser, they're saved from all enemies. And he explained because Hashem covers the person with his hand and protects the person. And Rabbeinu Zal said, we know there's a pasuk in Koheles where it says, Elokim yevakesh hanirdof, that Hashem always takes up the cause of the one who's being persecuted, the one who's being attacked. Even if a tzaddik is attacking a Rasha, Hashem will take up the cause of the Rasha who's under attack. As the pasuk says, Uvetzel yodi kisisicha, Hashem says, I cover you and protect you with the shade of my hand. And Rabbeinu Zal went on to say that when the person is a tzaddik, they're close to Hashem, so Hashem doesn't have to extend his hand. Kaviyochel, his hand is close by. When the person is a Rasha, which means he's distant from Hashem, Kaviyochel, Hashem needs to stretch his hand. Obviously, this is not physical terminology. In spiritual terms, Hashem has to generate a Yad Hagdoila in order to reach out to the Rasha and protect him. And Rabbeinu Zal said that through Meiser, that generates a Yad Hagdoila. Because the term Yad Hagdoila means where a person feels they have enough, they're content, they're satisfied, they don't feel that they're lacking in anything. We find that when the Jews were in the desert, and at one point they were complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu that they want meat. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem, and he says, they complain, they want meat. A million people want meat. Hatzoinu v'okor yishochet lem? Are we going to slaughter sheep and cattle for them? All the fish of the sea, is it going to be enough for them? And it says there, umotzo lohem, and it'll be enough for them. And the Targum says, hayispak lohem, will they be satisfied? Will they be content? And Hashem's response was, is my hand short? Hayad Hashem tiktzor? You think I can't reach out to everybody? So we see that there is this concept of a Yad Hagdoila of Hashem through which a person has enough. The person has histapkus. The person is totally content. They have everything they need. And Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say that when a person gives Meiser, then the person is zoche to have that feeling of contentment, complete satisfaction. They have what they need. Because we know, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, that normally a person has 100, he wants 200. He has 200, he wants 400. Never satisfied. But when it comes to a Jew who gives Meiser, Hashem says, test me regarding this item. When you'll give Meiser, I'll bless you so much to the point where you'll be saying, enough, ad belidai, ad sheyiflu sifsoisecha milim adai. Your lips will become tired from saying, enough, enough, stop, we have enough. So we see that Meiser generates that concept of enough. And enough, we saw before, was that Yad Hagdoila of Hashem. That also generates enough. So Rabbeinu Zal says this mitzvah of Meiser helps a person that whether he's a tzaddik or even if he's not a tzaddik, that Hashem will extend his hand over that person and provide protection from any enemies. This was the chapter on Likut Imran, and then we said there's a one line at the end of the chapter which seems disconnected from the chapter. Rabbeinu Zal says, he quotes the pasuk Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. Dovra Melech says, I place Hashem opposite me at all times. I always picture Hashem right opposite me, and therefore I'm very careful about what I say, what I do. And Rabbeinu Zal said, Bechinas Misnaged. This word neged, opposite, is associated with the word misnaged. Misnaged means an opponent. Now, what does this have to do with the Torah that we learned previously? Reb Nachman Chirin, who was one of the close students of Reb Nosson Zal, writes in his commentary on Likutei Moran, Parparois L'Chochma, he writes, I heard from Rav Nosson Zal himself that the way he explained this was, Rabbeinu Zal in this Torah speaks about opponents, opposition. David HaMelech said, I perceive Hashem as my opposition many times, meaning that in trying to come close to Hashem, very often a person experiences obstacles, opposition, difficulties. Now the question is, where is that coming from? Is it this and this person? Is it that person? No. I always see through it. I know that this is coming from Hashem. These obstacles and these difficulties and everything are coming from Hashem. However, I don't misinterpret to think that it's because Hashem is against me, but rather I know that Hashem is doing this to bring me close. He's doing it to ratchet up my desire, that I should want it even more. When a person wants something and it's being withheld from them, their desire intensifies. Hashem is doing this really with full intention to bring me close. It's a hisrachkus that's tachlis ahiskarvus. And in addition, we know Rabbeinu Zal says in another chapter that Hashem is in the obstacle. He quotes the pasuk Moshe nigash el ha'arafel, that when Hashem gave the Torah on Har Sinai, afterwards kaviyochel Hashem was in a dark cloud. Moshe Rabbeinu approached that dark cloud, asher shom ho'elikim, in which Hashem was to be found. And Rabbeinu Zal explains this dark cloud refers to the difficulties and opposition and obstacles that a person encounters in trying to come close to Hashem. A person who's smart, Moshe Rabbeinu represents Das. A person who understands knows that Hashem is in there. Hashem is hidden in the obstacle. And if I'll focus, if I'll do the right thing, I'll connect to Hashem and it'll bring me closer to Hashem. The word menios means obstacles, is the same letters as the word ni'imus. Ni'imus means sweetness. Noyam ho'elyoim. And Rav Nosson Zal explains that a person who encounters obstacles in trying to come close to Hashem, those obstacles, if the person handles it the right way, they turn into sweetness. They turn into a deep, profound sweetness of the closeness to Hashem and the closeness to tzaddikim. That's Rav Nosson Zal's interpretation. And Rav Nachman Shirin says, I'd like to offer an additional explanation. And he says that one of the things that allows people sometimes to commit sins or to go easy on themselves, that I don't have to push myself to be religious, I don't have to push myself to go to shul, if I'm a little tired, if the weather isn't so, is that the person has an attitude that Hashem is kind, Hashem is gracious, Hashem is loving, Hashem understands, and Hashem is vatran. Hashem is willing to say, let it go. I'm not gonna get upset that the person isn't doing the right thing or isn't doing as well as they should be doing. Whereas in fact, this is a mistake. The Gemara says that any person who says Hashem is Vatran will feel the full punch of Hashem, Chas v'Shalom, because Hashem has expectations from us also. So Rav Nachman Shirin writes, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somid. I perceive Hashem always as an opponent. Hashem is against me, meaning he's not my buddy-buddy. I don't feel like I'm buddy-buddy with Hashem, and therefore he won't get upset if I'm not so good, if I'm not so nice. On the contrary, I perceive Hashem as lenegdi somed. Hashem is against me. He's a king. He expects things from me, and if I don't do it, there'll be consequences. Now the question is, if a person thinks only like that, that can get a person down, chas v'shalom. So the pasuk continues there. David HaMelech says, "Ki mimini bal emoit." I don't just perceive Hashem as a mean guy, as my opponent, because I never deviate from the right side. The right side is chesed, meaning I know that as strict as Hashem is and as demanding as Hashem is, He also is kind. There's also kindness. And therefore, even when I fall, chas v'shalom, even when He knocks me down, He won't knock me down completely. He'll never let me fall completely, chas v'shalom. But rather, Hashem will sustain me, He'll help me get up, etc. And it's this combination of the realization that Hashem is lenegdi, number one, and at the same time, ki mimine balemoid, this helps a person be zochet to serve Hashem properly. Reish Chof Beis, chapter 222. This is one of several chapters in Likutei Moharan where Rabbeinu Zal puts tremendous emphasis on simcha, a Jew being happy all the time. Rabbeinu Zal begins, Tzorich lihiyos tomid besimcha. A Jew must always be happy. Always means no exceptions. Even chas v'shalom, when a person is mourning, even when a person is suffering, even on Tisha B'Av, a person is supposed to be besimcha. How they show it, how they manifest it, we're not listening to happy music then, we're not dancing, we don't express it the same way. But there's an underlying feeling of joy and happiness. And Baruch Hashem, we once started a series of shiurim going through all of Rabbeinu Zal's teachings, expounding on all the places where Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal speak about simcha. On our website, we have 24 shiurim, 24 hours on the topic of simcha, and we covered about a third. There's about another two-thirds that we haven't done yet of Likutei Halachos just on the topic of simcha. V'lav oides Hashem b'simcha. And a person must always serve Hashem with joy when we're learning Torah, especially when we're praying, when we're doing any mitzvah. It must be done with simcha. Chas v'shalom, if it's lacking in simcha, the mitzvah or the Torah or the tefillah is lacking in effectiveness. A king, when he sees a person serving him and the person's angry and mad and grouchy, that's a sign of disrespect and disloyalty to the king. Even if you're doing what the king said, but if the king sees you're not happy to be doing it, obviously that's not the real respect. The real respect for a king is when a person is super happy, how fortunate I am that the king is allowing me to perform in his service. And even if at times a person falls from that level of being able to be really happy, Rabbeinu Zal says here, what would make a person fall from joy and happiness? When the person sees that he's not as good as he used to be. He's not as religious as he used to be. He's not accomplishing as much as he was doing in the past. He remembers when he first became religious, he was so excited about it. And he was learning 10 pages a day and he was up. And now suddenly it cooled down. And now he's lucky if he's learning 4 pages a day. So how am I supposed to be happy? Where am I supposed to get the joy from if I feel unsatisfied, unaccomplished? Rabbeinu Zal says that sometimes you have to be able to draw on the past. You have to be able to remember the past and remember how happy you were then. And even though right now you're not on the same level as you were then, but to be able to tap in to that joy and happiness. I know I had it. I know I've done it. I did it before. So that means I could do it again. And that feeling, that optimism, and that positiveness can elevate that person and restore the simcha. And Rabbeinu Zal gives an interesting mashal, an interesting comparison. He says, "Kemo yishanu royim shekama sumim machzikim atzmon be'ish echod she'enoy suma." Sometimes you'll have a group of people that are blind. You have a school for the blind, and there's a class of a whole bunch of students. They're all blind. And they can't see, and they're relying on one individual, the teacher, the leader, the guide, who can see, and he says, follow me. And they will follow him, and he'll be able to lead them to be able to avoid obstacles, to be able to avoid mistakes. U'maminim boy, they trust him. V'ohel chenachrov, and they follow his lead. And by following his lead, they walk a clear path, a good path. Another example of this is, you have blind people who have a special walking stick. And he uses the walking stick, he places the walking stick in front of him, and that stick guides him, that stick is like a pair of eyes for him. It guides him to be able to avoid pitfalls, to be able to avoid knocking into things, and to be able to walk a good path. Af she'enoy roye klal, even though the blind person can't see at all. He can't see, but the person who can see or his stick helps him along. Rabbeinu Zal says, mikol shkein sheroy leilech achar atzmoy. So if people are willing to follow and trust someone else, or if they're willing to follow and trust their stick, how much more so a person should be willing to follow themselves. Meaning, Dahainu me'achar shebiyomim akoidmim, his riach leitzas, since I know and I remember that 2-3 years ago when I started becoming religious, I was high. Whenever I studied Torah, I felt like I was the luckiest person. There was nobody better than me, nobody luckier than me that I'm reading the book of Hashem, the book of truth. And when I did a mitzvah, I felt like the most privileged person in the world. And at that time, my heart was totally with Hashem. I was strong. I was feeling encouraged and motivated. So, af she'achshav nofal mizeh, even though right now I'm not feeling that, I've fallen from that level, v'nistimu eino v'liboy, and my eyes, I don't see Hashem, I don't see the light, and my heart is also closed, it's stuffed. Im kol zeh, despite that, roi sheyoyches bayomim hakoidmim, it's the right thing for the person to grab on to the earlier days, to remember that feeling that they had when they were at their best. Ve'yelech achrehem, and follow that lead. Use that as a stick, as a walking stick, to lead me, to help me go forward. Dainu, kimoi she'oz, hoyemis oire liboy, lishazei babaydosi isporach, just like then, my heart felt strong and inspired to serve Hashem really well. Kein gam achshav. So too now, yechazek liboy moid. The person should turn it on, ratchet up, turn on that fire again. Ve'yelech achar ha'hisoirus vazricha shehoyaloid. And follow that inspiration, that light that was shining for me then, when I was doing great, when I was at a high. Af she'achshav nofal mizeh kanal, even though I know right now I'm not holding on that same level, I'm not generating the same amount of mitzvahs and good deeds and everything, still I can tap into that, I can remind myself of that feeling and try to bring some of that feeling back. Ad asher biktsas yomim yazroi Hashem, until in a short period of time Hashem will help the person, v'yachzor v'yizrach lo oiro yisborach. And that light of Hashem that he felt then, that shone for him then, will shine once again for him. Amen. May it be the will of Hashem. Here Rabbeinu Zal is doing an incredible service for us, in that once again he's making it clear to us that a human being is not a robot. Our lives don't go straight. We have ups and downs. We have highs and lows. And Rabbeinu Zal says, during a low, what do I do? He says, remember the high. Remember that you did experience a high. You did experience how sweet and beautiful it is to serve Hashem, to learn Torah, to pray, to do mitzvahs. And grab on to that. Use that as your guide right now. Even though right now you're not generating the same heat, the same passion, the same fire, grab on to that and use that as a rope. Because I remember, I know I did feel it. You can't tell me that it doesn't exist. You can't tell me that I can't experience it, because I know I did experience. So I'm not dead spiritually. Right now I'm at a low. By remembering the sweet taste of how good it was then, And having faith in Hashem and faith in myself that I can do it again, and pulling myself into a frame of mind of simcha, that'll help me, that within a short period of time, Hashem will bring me back to that high again. And there's a short footnote here, Ayin besoif ha-sefer ma-she-shayich lazeh, look at the end of the first half of Likutei Moran, the famous chapter 282, Azamra lo-lekai bi-oidi, which is very much connected to this. The concept of a person being able to look for the good, look for the good points, look for the good days. People who use that never word is the worst thing in the world. I never had a good day. I never enjoyed this. When a person has that kind of attitude, they're finished. It's only if a person can push themselves to remember the good days, to remember that I did taste what it is to have happiness in marriage, to have happiness in life, to have happiness in serving Hashem. Person does that, they can use that as a springboard to be able to get back to that. Baruch Hashem. Torah Reish Chof Gimel, chapter 223. Rabbi Nazal says, Kishahatzadik tzorech levakesh meis Hashem Yisborach. When a tzaddik has to make a request from Hashem, whether it's for himself or for other people, it's possible that Hashem will not grant his request. Why? Because the Zohar HaKadosh says, Ki zimnin deshoma vezimnin deloy shoma. There are times when Hashem listens to a person's prayer, he accepts it, and there are times when Hashem does not accept it. The Zohar HaKadosh speaks in many places, elaborately, about different obstacles that can block a person's tefillah from being received by Hashem, from being accepted by Hashem. Even in the case of tzaddikim sometimes, there are kitrugim, there are different issues, problems, that can cause a tefillah to be blocked, to be rerouted, chas v'shalom, and not be able to achieve what the person's asking for. Rabbi Nazal says, Avol, however, yesh tzaddik, there is a tzaddik who is on such a level, sheyochol ligzor veloimar ani oimer sheyihi akein, that this tzaddik has the authority to issue a decree and say, I say that it should be like this. And then it becomes an overriding factor. Then there's no malachim, there's nothing that can get in the way. Kaviyochol, even Hashem is subservient to that request. The Gemara says in Moed Katan, we've quoted it several times, Moed Katan, page 16b, the Gemara quotes a pasuk there, Tzadik Moishel Beyiras Elikim. The Gemara says that Hashem says, I rule over everything. Umi Moishel Be, who rules over me? And Hashem says, Tzadik, the Tzadik rules over me. That there is a tzaddik who has such authority that Hashem can issue a decree and the tzaddik can nullify the decree. And the tzaddik can make a declaration and nothing can block it. The Zohar Kodesh of Parshas Vayera, the Zohar Kodesh there tells a story, an incredible story. It's based on the pasuk, V'Avraham Hoyoy Yihye L'Goy Godol. Avraham Avinu will be a great nation. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Yihye is 30, Begematria 30, and this refers to 30 tzaddikim that are present in every generation. This is a number that the Zohar HaKadosh quotes. And then the Zohar HaKadosh goes on to say, one day Rabbi Shimon went outside and he saw darkness, major darkness, and the light was completely gone. He said to Rabbi Elazar, his son, let's go see what Hashem wants. They went and they discovered an angel that appeared like a gigantic mountain, and 30 flames of fire were coming from his mouth. So Rabbi Shimon said to the angel, what are you here for? What's your mission? He said, I'm here to destroy the world because of the fact that there aren't 30 tzaddikim in the world. Because Hashem decreed during the time of Avraham Avinu, the Avraham Hoyo Yihye, that the Jewish nation must have this minimum of 30 tzaddikim of a certain caliber. Rabbi Shimon said to him, please go back to Hashem and tell Hashem that Rabbi Shimon is in the world. The Zohar HaKadosh says the Malach went before Hashem and said, Hashem, you know what Bar Yochai told me. Hashem said, go destroy the world and ignore Bar Yochai. The Zohar HaKadosh says the angel went back down. Rabbi Shimon saw him again. And now Rabbi Shimon said, if you don't leave, I'm going to issue a decree that you'll never get back up. You'll be stuck down here and you won't be able to get back up. You'll go to the place of those angels who came down in the beginning of creation, and he mentioned the names of the angels, and you'll be stuck down here like they are. And now, if you listen to me and you go back up now, Listen to what I want you to tell Hashem. Tell Hashem that if there aren't 30 tzaddikim in the world, let there be 20. 20 is also enough, because it says in the Chumash, when Avraham Avinu was negotiating for Sidoim, he said, what if there aren't 30? What if there are 20? And Hashem said, okay, I will not destroy, not for 20, and I won't destroy for 10. I won't even destroy if there's 10 tzaddikim. That's where Avraham Avinu stopped. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, but Rabbi Shimon said, even if there aren't 10, 2 is also enough, me and my son. Because there's a pasuk, al pi shnayim edim yokum dovor. And the word dovor refers to the world. It says, bidvar Hashem shamayim nasu uberua piv kol tzavom, that heaven and earth were created with dovor, dvar Hashem. So heaven and earth are dovor, al pi shnayim edim, me and my son are enough to support the whole world. And then he said, and if there aren't 2, then there is 1, and I am the one. As the pasuk says, v'tzadik yisoid olam, singular. The tzadik is the foundation of the world, meaning one tzadik, singular, can support the entire world. The Zohar HaKadosh says, at that point, a baskoil came forth from heaven and said, Ashrei to you, Rabbi Shimon, that Hashem issues decrees above and you nullify it below. Most definitely about you is written the pasuk, Ritzoin Yireyov Yaseh. Hashem fulfills the will of those who respect him. There are many people who read Rabbi Nachman's Sforim. They read Chaim Aran, the life of Rabbi Nachman, where Rabbeinu Zal made certain statements about himself. And when these people read it, they're appalled. How could he say such a thing? Those people simply aren't learned. They haven't learned the Zohar HaKadosh. They haven't learned certain places in the Gemara where we see rabbis in the Gemara making similar statements, exactly the same statements, such as what we saw here. And tzaddikim are allowed to do this. There's a pasuk, Yehalel Chazor, let others praise you. Veloi, and if they don't know how great you are, then picha, then your mouth has to say it. Because if you don't say it, they simply won't know. The people won't know who you are. They won't have an idea of how important their connection to you really is. Back inside, Rabbeinu Zal says, but there is a tzaddik who can decree and say, I say that this is the way it should be. V'zeh b'chinas, with this we could understand the wording in the Chumash. When the Torah says, Vayom Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Emor el Aaron, tell your brother Aaron, Koi sevarachu es b'nei Yisrael. This is how you should bless the Jewish people. But there in the beginning it says, Omor lohem, yivorech Hashem v'yishmarecha. Exactly. Koi sevarachu, this is how you should praise them. Omor lohem, say to them. So Rabbeinu Zal says, Hainu she'ani oimer she'yekein. What's the Omor lohem? Say to them, tell them. This means that I'm saying that this is what should be. I am issuing a decree that this is what should be. What should be? Yivorecha Hashem v'yishmarecha. That Hashem should bless you and protect you. Now, as Moshe Rabbeinu certainly was a tzaddik of that caliber who had the authority to say this. Any questions? We continue. Torah Reish Chof Dalet, chapter 224. Rabbeinu Zal says, Afilu horechokim min hatzadik. Even those people who seem to be very far from the tzaddik, it looks to us as if they have no connection to the tzaddik, no relationship, they don't talk to him, they don't go to see him, they don't even know about him. Heim mekablim chius veheoro min hatzadik. Even they receive vitality and light and inspiration from the tzaddik, al yedei shemechasa aleihem, by the fact that the tzaddik covers them, he covers over them, kemoi ho'ilon, like a large tree, sheyeshloi anofim, which has branches, uklipa, and it has bark, va'alin, it has leaves, v'kulam shoyavim chius min ho'ilon, and all the different parts of the tree draw life from the trunk of the tree, from the essence, from the roots and the trunk of the tree. Ve'yesh asabim sherechoyke min ha'ilon. Sometimes you can have grass or vegetation that's growing that's far away from where the tree appears to be. Ve'nitme she'ein mekablim chiyas mo'ilon. And it seems, at first glance, that they're totally disconnected. They have no connection at all to the tree. They're not receiving any life from the tree. Gamhei mekablim chiyas mimenu. Whereas in reality, they are also receiving life from the tree, ki ho'ilon megen aleihem u'matzilon mi'ashemesh. In one of the most obvious ways is that the branches of the tree and the leaves are covering over that grass, that vegetation, everything, and protecting them from being scorched or damaged or harmed any at all by the sun, by the powerful rays of the sun. Kein yesh etzel hatzadik. So too, by the tzaddik, there is also b'chinas alin va'anofim. There are leaves and branches. Kemo shemavur b'makom acher, as Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in chapter 66 in Likut Imran. There, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the tzaddik and his students and those who are associated with him, and he compares the different levels of students. That sometimes one student is a leaf, sometimes a student is a branch. And from that branch emanate other branches, and on those branches grow leaves, etc. Vafilu harechoikim mekablim chius mimenu. And even those that seem to be distant from the trunk of the tree, even they are receiving life from him, from the tzaddik, al yedei shemechasa aleim kmo ilon. By the fact that the tzaddik is covering over them, he's a mogen, he's a shield for them, just like in the example that we gave of the tree. Interesting to note that in the Chumash, in Parsha Shlach, when Moshe Rabbeinu sends the spies on their mission to check out the land of Eretz Yisrael, he says to them, go see Hayesh Bo Eitz Imayim. Go see if there's a tree in Eretz Yisrael or not. Rashi over there, right on that pasuk, I believe quotes the Gemara, which says, meaning, go see if there's a tzaddik whose merit will serve as a protection for them, meaning that even if the people there now are bad people, so what? If there's a tzaddik there, he has a power to protect all those around him. The Gemara says that the great tzaddikim, during their lifetime, people that lived in a radius of hundreds of miles were protected, that no wild animal could attack, no strange incidents. That's how far-reaching is the protection of the tzaddik. Baruch Hashem. Any questions? This is one of several chapters in Likut Imran where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the lungs, the reyah. We know that in actuality, Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal in his shiurim addressed every part of the human body. And in fact, there's a book that Breslov Research Institute published, Anatomy of the Soul, showing how the human anatomy, every single part of the body is connected to a corresponding part of the neshama. And the spiritual lessons that the tzaddikim give us are what nurture, what provide energy, both for the physical organs and the corresponding spiritual organs. Rabbeinu Zal himself experienced a terrible disease of the lungs, tuberculosis, during the last 3 years of his life. And during those years especially, he would include discussion of the lungs in his Torahs, trying to effect a cure through the Torah that he was speaking. Rabbeinu Zal says, Da, you should know, Kishehoreya bishleimus, when a person's lungs are perfect, Al yideizeh habitochein bishleimus, then that person's trust and confidence and faith in Hashem will also be perfect. Ki ikar habitochin b'shleimus hu al yidei ha-seichel. Because Rabbeinu Zal says, in order for a person to really have perfect trust and faith in Hashem, it requires a certain level of intellect. K'may shekosuv, as we find one of the major psukim in the Torah that speaks about trusting in Hashem, the pasuk in Ashrei, which says, Einei choel eilecho yisaberu. All eyes look to you, Hashem, hoping that you will provide for us. V'ato noisein lemesoch meito. You are the one who provides for everyone at the right time, when they need it. So this pasuk is one of the most descriptive psukim expressing our faith and trust in Hashem, the bitachon. Rabbi Nizal says, Eine, note, it says their eyes. The eyes represent the intellect of a person. Zebechinas ha-sechel. Kamei shekosuv, as it says by Adam and Chava, that when they ate from the Eitz Hadas, vatipokachno eine shnehem. The eyes of both of them were opened. And opening of the eyes is referred to as pikeach. Pikeach means a very intelligent person. Upirush Rashi al shema chochma nemra, that this is referring to chochma, wisdom, intelligence. Ulefia sechel kenu habitochin, based on a person's real intelligence, that's what will define how trusting the person is in Hashem. Kiesh kama mailoi sumadregas bebitochin adein soif, because there are infinite levels of bitochin, of trust in Hashem. Bebechinas, as we say in our tefillah every morning in Uvolat Zion, bitchu b'Hashem adeyad, trust in Hashem forever and ever, adeyad, forever and ever. V'hakoil lefi hasechel, and what's going to determine the level of a person's trust in Hashem is how really intelligent a person is. Now, the intelligence we're talking about here isn't the person's knowledge of physics or chemistry or natural sciences. The intelligence here means intelligence in understanding the truths of the world, the real truths, which is the Torah HaKdoisha. Ve'ikar ha-sechel al yedei horeya. And one of the most important things the person's intelligence is dependent on is the lungs working properly. Ki ikar ha-sechel hu al yedei ha-lachluchis ho'oyle melamoyach. Because in order for a person's brain to be working properly and the intelligence to really be the way it's supposed to be, the brain needs to be fed with moisture. Just like a candle needs oil to support it. As long as there's a source of oil and the oil is being fed to the flame properly, the flame burns beautifully. So too, the liquids of the body are what sustain, what go up to the brain. Shehem bechinas ha-shemen. They're like the oil that's supporting a candle. V'hamoyach hi ha-psila. The brain is the wick. V'haneshomo shebamoyach hu ha-oyer. And the soul of the person, which is in the brain, that's the light. That's the actual light. Nimtzo she'ikar kiyum ha-sechel hu'al-yidei alach-luchis shebeguf. So therefore, what's really supporting and sustaining that light, the neshama, the sechel, the brain, is the liquids of the body, the moisture of the body. V'halach-luchis hu'al-yidei horeya. And that moisture, that those liquids are specially based, dependent on the lungs. Kamuva, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh, Ilmole kanfei reyudu menashri alibo havaliba oikid kol gufa. Were it not for the two lobes of the lungs that support, that blow on the heart, the heart would burn up the whole body. The heart is pulsating the whole time. It's pulsating. We know that movement generates heat, friction, heat. So if the heart is beating the whole time quickly, that generates heat, that heats up the body. If there isn't a fan to cool it down, the body would burn up, a person would burn up from fever. So the lungs are what cool down the heart. V'zeh b'chinas, this is also what we find in the Beis HaMikdosh and in the Mishkan. It says, V'hoyu ha-kruvim poirsei knofayim al ha-kapoiris. You had the Oroin, the Holy Ark, which had in it the Torah, the tablets, the Luchos. That's the light, that's the fire. Hashem's words are compared to fire. That's the Oroin. And the kapoiris, the covering over the Oroin. On top of that, you had the two cherubs, the kruvim, whose wings extended, a very wide wingspan, they covered the Oroin. The Zohar HaKadosh says, kapurta deli, the pasuk says, v'oyu akruvim poirsei knofayim al kapoiris. These cherubs spread their wings over the cover of the Oroin, kapurta deliba. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the kapoiris is the cover of the heart. The Oroin in the Holy of Holies, that's compared to the heart. That's the light. That's the fire. And that needs to be cooled down by the lungs, which are symbolized in the Gemara. It's called kanfei re'a. Konof means wings, like the wings of those birds, those cherubs. The lungs also look like wings. Nimtza, shalidei horeo niskayim halachluchis. So therefore we see that it's the lungs that keep the moisture in the body, shelo yisyapesh, it shouldn't dry out, alidei alev, through the fire, the heat of the heart. Vaideze kium hasechel. And this is what helps sustain the intelligence, the mind, shehu b'chinas ne'er doylek, which is compared to a candle burning. Al yidei halachluchis hanal, through that moisture. Val yidei ha-seichel, ayidei zeh na'asa bitochen kanal. And we learned earlier that according to the seichel, that's going to define how strong the bitochen is. Nimtza she-shleimus ha-bitochen, hu-al yidei shleimus ha-reya kanal. So therefore, the perfection of one's trust in Hashem is dependent on the perfection of a person's lungs. Now Rabbi Nazal says, Vaza yecholin lasos mehatziftzu. If a person's lungs are operating correctly, and the brain, the intellect is operating correctly, and the person's trust in Hashem is solid, then that person will be able to transform mehatziftzuf. The chirping, dahainu hakoil hayoytze mehakone, the sound that comes out of the throat, out of the windpipe, out of the voice box, shehurak koil poshut vetziftzuf. When the sound is emanating from the person's throat, originally the sound is just a simple, unformatted sound. Sheyenase dibur. That it should be formed and shaped into speech, into words that are recognizable. Al yidei chamisha moitzoyes haper, through the five aspects of the mouth, which are the teeth, the lips, the tongue, the upper palate, and the throat. Shemechatchen hadibur. They enunciate the person's speech. They shape and form the speech into letters, into words, into sentences. Ki ikar hahevdel sheish ben odom lechai hu al yedei chituch hadibur shehu geder ha'odom shehu medaber. We know that when we define the different levels of creation, there are four levels. Doimim is inanimate objects. Tsoimeach is plants. Chai, animals are called chai, living things. And then there's medaber. Human beings are called medaber. What differentiates man from animal is the quality of the speech. Rabbi Nazar says, the main difference between human and animal is the chituch hadibur, the ability to speak clearly, letters, words, sentences. Shehu geder odom shu medaber, man is called medaber. Bebechinas, as it says, as Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, mi som pe lo odom, who has given a mouth to a human being? Meaning again, the title Odom comes from Peh, comes from Chituch Hadibur, clear, proper speech. Ve'ikar ha'hevdel hu Chituch Hadibur. And the main distinction between animal and human is this clarity, this ability to articulate the person's speech. Dahainu she'ho'odom oise me'hatziftzuf v'hakoil Chituch ho'oisis v'hadibur. A human being has the ability to take the unformatted sound and turn it into letters and words. Kigam behemus v'yoifos yeshlam koil v'tziftzuf. Because birds and animals also make sounds. Rak she'en lehem chituch ha'oisis v'dibur. However, they cannot actually pronounce letters and words. V'zehu geder ha'odom. This is what distinguishes a human being. That he has the ability to speak clearly and to articulate the speech. How does a person get to this madrega of odom, of being able to really articulate the speech properly? Is through the mitzvah of charity. As we find, when it came to Hashem creating man, Hashem said, Nase odom. Let us make man. The term Nase is used. And we find in Megillas Rus, when it speaks about charity, when it speaks about the fact that Boaz allowed Ruth, he told her, come into the field, and all the, when a Jew picks, harvests their grain and thing, any grains that fall on the ground, you're not allowed to pick up. You're supposed to leave that for the poor people. That's called leket. So Boaz invited Ruth to come in, and as the workers are harvesting, she should pick up all the fallen leket and distribute it. She should be a gabay tzedakah to distribute it among all the poor people. When she went back to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and she brought a large bag of grain, her mother-in-law asked her, where did you get all of that? She said, V'shem ho'ish asher osisi imoy, the name of the man whom I did for him. Asisi, I did for him. Because the Gemara says, when a person gives charity, who's benefiting more, the donor or the poor person? The donor is who's having something done for them. It's the donor that's having a tremendous act of kindness that the poor person is willing to accept the charity and the incredible reward that the donor gets for giving the charity. We see when it came to creating man, Nase Adam, make man, Adam is Nase, and charity is Asher Osisi Imoy, Hayoim. Ma Hosam Stoko, Afkan Stoko. That just like by Rus, it was referring to charity. The Zohar Kodesh says this, that this was a charitable act on the part of Hashem to create man. K'mashikosu b'Zohar Kodesh, as it says in the Zohar Kodesh, in the introduction. Hainu, shayidei tzedaka nase b'chinas Adam. Through tzedaka, a person becomes Adam, meaning shehu dibur kanal, meaning real quality speech. This is why we find also interestingly that in the Pasuk in the Chumash where it warns a Jew that when a person pledges that he's going to bring a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash, it says, Lo yacher, don't procrastinate, don't delay, bring it. You said you're going to bring a korban, bring it. And it says over there, the pledge that you will make, and then it says, Beficha, with your mouth. The Gemara says, why is that? Of course, I make a pledge with my feet. So the Gemara says, Beficha zutz, the word Beficha is extra over there. So the Gemara says, Beficha zutztaka. That extra Beficha comes to teach us that this doesn't just refer to sacrifices. It refers to any pledge that a person makes, a pledge of charity. A person makes a pledge to give charity, make sure you fulfill. Don't procrastinate. So again, Beficha zutztaka. What will help a person's speech to articulate the words is tztaka. Shehu b'chinas geder hod, dibur is the geder hodom, b'chinas misom pel hodom. Ve'ikar hatztaka walidei habitochain. Now Rabbi Nezal says, in order for a person to give tztaka properly, that person has to be on a certain level of bitochain, of trust in Hashem. B'chinas, as it says in Tehillim, betach b'Hashem va'asei toiv. Trust in Hashem and asei, do good. Again, that word asiya, v'shem v'shashir asisi imoy, charity. Kiim ein loy bitochon, because if a person doesn't have trust in Hashem, ein yochol aseh tzedakah koroy, that person cannot perform acts of charity properly. Why? Ki misyore sheyechsel v'shem tzedakah. When he gives away some of his money to somebody else, he's always thinking, wow, I hope I'm going to have enough. I hope I'm not taking away, and then later I'll be in trouble. I won't have what I need for myself or for my kids or for my grandchildren. Ve'ikar hatzdoko walidei bitochain. Therefore, the real tzedaka, for a person to be able to give it wholeheartedly, without any doubt, without any worry, without any negative feeling, is through bitochain. Sheboiteach b'Hashem, he trusts in Hashem, shelo yafsid v'lo yechsar alidei hatzdoka klal. That I'm not losing anything. I will never be lacking by giving tzedakah, from having given tzedakah. The Rambam writes this, that there was never a person, chas v'shalom, who lost by giving tzedakah. Ki Hashem yisborach yivorchoi biglal hadovra zeh. As the Gemara says, based on a pasuk, that because of this, because of the charity you give, that will ensure that Hashem will bless you. Nimtza. So therefore, through bitochin, real trust in Hashem, which is dependent on sechel, that helps a person perform tzedakah, real tzedakah, Vaydezeh nase hadibur. And that also helps the person to achieve a level of human speech. Vezeh b'chinas, with this we could also understand a pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 69, where Dovid HaMelech says, Nichar groini, my throat is parched. I can't talk anymore. Kolu einai, my eyes are aching. Hainu, kishe'ein ha-seichel b'shleimus. What this is referring to is when a person's eyes are not perfect. Bechinas kolu einai, my eyes are aching, are hurting. Dahainu ha-seichel, and we said before, the eyes are the seichel. Vazai ein loy bitochen kanal. And if his eyes aren't functioning, but if he doesn't have seichel and his eyes aren't, then he's not fulfilling ein echoyle lecha yisaberu. He's not turning to Hashem with complete trust. Bechinas kolu einai meyache lelokai. As the pasuk says, my eyes ache, I am yearning to Hashem. Azai nichar groini. Then my throat is parched. Hainu she'en lo yichitu chadibur kanal. I can't speak properly either. Aval kishiyesh lo yibitochoin. Whereas when a person has that trust, v'oyset tztoka kanal, and he performs acts of tztoka properly, azai yochoy lasos mikoil hatzivtzufim diburim. That person has the ability to turn sounds into speech, into articulate speech. V'zeh b'chinas, with this we could understand also a pasuk in Koheles, where the pasuk says, v'yokoim lekoil hatzipor. The person will be awakened to the sound of a bird chirping. V'yisachu kol b'nois hashir. And all the strains of music, all the strains of song, yishachu will be muffled. V'dosh Rabbi Senzoch Navrocha, this is talking about if Chas Shalom, a person will not do the right thing. So Hashem says, I'll punish you, that even a bird outside will be able to wake you out of your sleep. And you won't be able to experience music. You won't be able to differentiate between music and just regular talking. Shekol hashirois doimoy sol of kesicha. All song and music will appear to this person like conversation. He won't have any real appreciation for song and music. Hainu, shienase mitzivtzufim v'shirois, sicha v'dibur. Rabbeinu Zal puts a spin on this, and he says, look, it says that the songs will become like sicha. Songs are a tune without words will become articulate speech. It'll become sicha. And now Rabbeinu Zal adds an interesting note. We find v'zeh b'chinas ma'ashem esaprim ala Baal Shem Tov zechon avrocha. The story is told about the Baal Shem Tov shehoya shomea diburim mikoil hakinor, that he once heard a person playing a violin, and the Baal Shem Tov said that he was listening to this person playing this musical instrument. He was able to hear from the music, the sound of it being played, all of the sins that person had performed throughout his entire life. Ki hayo oise mitzivtzufim diburim. Because the Baal Shem Tov was a person who was on such a madrega that he could make from sounds, from tzivtzufim, from shirois v'tishbochois, he was able to convert it into words, into speech. And we find this in the Gemara. The Gemara speaks about Rabban Yochanan and Zakkai. The Gemara says that Hillel had 80 students. His greatest student was Yonasan ben Uziel. And his smallest student was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And the Gemara says there that Yonasan ben Uziel was on such a high level that when he would learn Torah, any bird that was flying overhead would be burnt. That's how powerful his Torah was. And the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he was so great that he knew the speech of the birds, of the trees. He was able to hear, to make words out of the ruffling of the leaves and the trees and the birds singing and everything. He was able to understand it. I heard from my Rebbe Zichron Avraham Rav Rosenfeld, he gave his own chiddush on that Gemara, that to say about a rabbi, he's so great that he burns birds. What are the bird lovers going to say about that? So he explained We know the Gemara says every good deed that a person performs creates a good angel. Every sin that a person performs creates a negative angel. And angels are called birds in many places in the Navi. Oif hashamayim yoylech esakoil. The heavenly birds carry the sounds. So we know there are different level angels depending on the quality of the mitzvah you perform. A regular person, their mitzvah could perform the lowest level angel. A tzaddik creates a higher level angel. The Zohar Kodesh tells us that the highest level angels in heaven are srofim. That's the highest level angel. So kol oif hapoireach olav. Every bird, every angel created by Yonis Menuziel was a grand slam, was a sorof, was srofim, the highest level. And again, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai knew, this is the smallest student, he knew he had this power that we say here. He was able to hear birds chirping and be able to hear exactly what they were saying to make words out of it. The birds, even the trees, the rustling of the wind through the trees. It's brought that the Ari HaKodesh, Reb Chaim Vital writes, that the Ari HaKodesh knew this, the Baal Shem Tov, these tzaddikim were on such a level to be able to convert the Vikoilos into Dibur. We should be zeuchet to have trust in Hashem. We should be zeuchet to do the best we can to develop our Sechel by learning Torah properly and through Tefillah, and be zeuchet to all the Tikkunim and all the Torahs that we learned here. And again, we said the learning today is Le'ilu Nishmas, the people we mentioned, and also for a complete refuah shalema and a yeshua for those that we mentioned and those that we didn't mention. Any questions before we close?
Question on Torah 244, the one right before where the people benefit even if they're not connected to the tzaddik. The people have to know, have kavanah to know that the tzaddik is there protecting them, and does the tzaddik have to have kavanah of that person specifically?
I believe the answer is that even if the people don't know, they're still benefiting, whether they know or they don't know. And the tzaddikim, their methodology is always to try to include everyone. We know the Arizal taught us that before a person prays, he says, Hareini mekabel olai mitzvah haseh shel v'ahavta l'reicha kamoicha. I hereby am accepting upon myself the mitzvah to love every Jew. The Arizal says when a person does that, it's like he's holding hands with all 600,000 Jews. So the tzaddikim, and we find this in some of our prayers, you know, it says very clearly that for us and for the entire Jewish nation, we say, Ulechol Yisrael, Oseh Shalom Imramov, Hu Barach Miyaz Shalom Oleinu, Val Kol Yisrael Vimru Amen. Hashem gives us peace, should give peace to the entire Jewish nation.
Amen.
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. Anybody else? Have a wonderful week. Hatzlacha to all.